Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome inside the Sports Fan Studios. Football Sunday back for one final time for the 2020 and 2021 season. Week 22 is upon us. We are finally here for the biggest game of the year. That is, of course, the big game. Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting ready to square off later tonight at 5:30 Central Time on CBS. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are on the call, of course. And myself, Eric Jordan Goldthy, alongside me this week and all season long, big shout out to these guys, Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin, for helping me get through the entire football season. It's been a crazy fall, crazy winter, crazy year in the year of 2020 because of the pandemic, of course, with everything going on. It's just been a crazy year. And first off, I really do thank you guys for being with me through the whole year so far. And we've had a great time as we're going to round out the show this week.
Yeah, it's been a great pleasure to be here and do the show. Obviously, we'd like to do it live and whatnot and be here and talk about everything. But circumstances are what it is, and I really enjoy everything we've done this year.
Oh, and absolutely. And if we end up doing the show again next year, I'd be very happy to be back.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And I've been saying the same thing the last 2 years, you know, where we wish I would be here in person. We could take live calls. I know we got Kurt over in Algonquin. He likes to call a lot. We have a lot of Twitter followers as well. It's a pretty popular show here on the station. And of course, we'd like to be here in person, answer some of your fantasy questions, your last minute fantasy questions. But, you know, due to other jobs and, you know, time constraints and the pandemic, unfortunately, we could not be here in person. But we'll see what 21 has in store for us coming up in the fall. But guys, we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to get into today's show. We got our headlines. We got Matt's Golden Nuggets to round out the year. We got our Mount Rushmore of big game moments. We also have some big game prop bets. And then, of course, why not previewing the big showdown between the old generation and the new generation at quarterback between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. It's going to be a great historic matchup on the field later tonight over down in Tampa Bay. But right now, we're going to stick with that quarterback position. Lions and Rams have agreed to a trade. And I know last week's show, we talked about the possibility of Matthew being Stafford when we recorded it. And sure enough, Saturday night, guess what happened? Matthew Stafford was indeed dealt, and we weren't able to recap it, as Matthew Stafford from the Lions was dealt away to L.A. in exchange for Jared Goff, two first-round picks in 2022 and 2023, along with the 2021 third-round picks. Now the Rams, they don't have a first, second, or third-round pick in this year's draft.
And they haven't had a first-round pick since, what, 2016 when they took Jared Goff?
Yeah.
And it's going to be like that for a lot longer.
And I believe I saw a stat. I think the last first-round pick the Rams had was back in 2014 that's still on the roster is Aaron Donald. I believe that was the same year they also got Greg Robinson, who didn't pan out in the league. But Aaron Donald is really the only first-round pick since 2014 that is still on the roster.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. He's going to be the only first-round on that team until 2024.
That's crazy. Absolutely insane. But this is a team where you're expecting to pick in the back end of the first round. So really, it's a late first, early second type pick. That's where you're grading at because you're expecting to win now that Sean McVay has, quote, his guy at the quarterback position. Hopefully, maybe just put this Rams offense at a new level and we'll see what happens. But to me, the big story was the fact that the Lions were able to move on from Matthew Stafford, get rid of that contract, and fully start the rebuild. But the compensation they got for him, I mean, we're talking two first-round picks, a third-round pick for a guy who's around 30 years old, who's still in his prime technically, but he's getting up there in age.
32.
So he's
turning 33 soon.
That's a lot of draft picks, but I know there's 6, 7, 8 teams that were in the conversation. One of those teams was the Chicago Bears, and that's where I'm going to lead this next topic, where the Bears were one of the finalist teams. They offered, apparently, according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport out there, more than one first-round pick that was offered from the Chicago Bears. They were trying to land Matthew Stafford, and the Lions did not want to keep him in the same division. They didn't want to face him two times a year. But instead, he was dealt to the West Coast. And now the next quarterback on the list, Carson Wentz. Could he possibly be coming to Chi-Town?
Unless it's for like a fourth-round pick like Nick Foles, I would not want that. You're talking about a guy who's going in with a massive contract next year, and he led the league in turnovers last year. Turnovers is not what this Bears offense needs. It needs consistent good play, and I don't think Carson's going to bring that for the Bears.
Yeah, I saw Field Yates tweet out that whatever team lands Carson Wentz, they're going to have to take a four-year, $98 million contract going forward. That means the Eagles are going to take, I think, $38.3 million of that cut. They're going to have to take, and that's going to go to dead cap. So it's still a big contract that a new team would have to take on.
Yeah, and Dan Patrick came out yesterday saying that there's no source really has actually come and talked to Carson Wentz. They all just believe that they're just hyping it up so they can get a market out there, because realistically, you have a quarterback that statistically was worse than Mitchell Trubisky in every way possible last year, has a contract that's disgustingly high. The only person and only team I can see taking them is former offensive coordinator for the Eagles, is Frank Reich and the Colts. They have the money, they have the draft capital, and they can do whatever they want with the money that they have. So honestly, I think it goes down to there, but I swear to God, if we give anything up higher than a fourth round pick, I might throw up.
Yeah, and for the Colts getting Carson Wentz, that would be perfect for them. Like, they are a quarterback away from being a playoff contender after losing Phillip Rivers. That team is the one that needs Carson Wentz. The Bears, no. We would be taking on a huge contract. We'll be losing Allen Robinson in free agency because we already have cap problems. It just wouldn't work.
You know, I saw, again, another thing I saw on Twitter today, but just, you know, people, it's good just to go on there and just see what people, the conversations people are having. And one of the local Bears reporters tweeted out, trading for a guy like Carson Wentz instead of trading for a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's also available via trade, is like moving up in the draft and drafting Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Honestly, that's a pretty good comparison.
It's a good comparison, but we have to sit here and realize that Carson's available while Deshaun Watson, again, they're trying to keep and salvage every bit of relationship that they have left down there. Yes, I know he wants a trade, but that all comes down to he has a no-trade clause in his contract, so it has to be waived by him.
And which I think he will.
I obviously think he will, but again, it all has to go with Jack Easterby wanting to deal his franchise player.
I mean, even the Texans beat reporter, he's been there over 40 years, even covered the team back when they were with the Oilers, and he even said that, I don't think there's a relationship that they can repair.
I don't
like it, it's, you can talk all these experts, the teams that follow the team on a daily basis, you look at the Adam Schefters of the world, no one believes that Deshaun Watson will be in a Houston Texans uniform by the start of the 2021 regular season. I think he's up for a trade. Carson Wentz is looking for a new home. He does not want to be in Philadelphia anymore. Call me crazy. I think there still is something with Carson Wentz if he gets in the right system, if he gets under the right coach. I think there's something that that can be repaired, because he was the second overall pick. That year he blew out his knee where the Eagles went all the way to the big game and they eventually defeated the Patriots, he was having a fantastic year. Now, he hasn't played anywhere near that level, but there's still something there that can be worked with.
Yeah, and that's why I said Frank Reich would be the perfect, because guess who was the offensive coordinator for that year? It was Frank Reich. So the Colts honestly make so much sense to land a quarterback like that. It's just when it comes down to the fact that everybody's worried about just going sideways, it would just be a horizontal move.
Right.
And we're not, we would be gaining more cap. We'd be, unless we're given the sixth overall pick and we flop first, then I might be okay with it, because the sixth overall pick would be a nice pick. But again, I just don't see how this pick is going to be. This trade would benefit the Bears more than giving the whole world for Deshaun Watson.
Right, and that's the thing, is that if Deshaun Watson, we know, is out there via trade, or the team could potentially draft a quarterback or sign another quarterback in free agency, no question that quarterback is a top priority for the team this offseason. No question. But when you trade for a guy like Wentz, when there's better options that could possibly be out there, that's where the conversation begins, and that's where it can be frustrating with being a Chicago Bears fan.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, because as a longtime Chicago Bears fan at this point, we've been mediocre at quarterback for ever since forever. And since I really hope this isn't going to be a pride thing where Ryan Pace is like, all right, well, I messed up on Trubisky, but I really don't want to hurt my pride out and get the guy that I should originally drafted.
Yeah.
Honestly, it seems like something it could come down to. Hopefully it doesn't, and hopefully we're not either in play for Carson or we're heavily in play for Watson. Mm-hmm. It has to be Watson. I just don't see how Carson can come in this situation and be good.
If that's a question about pride, then you're in the long line. You're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah,
get out of it. You should not be in the position you're in.
Emotions cannot govern how you draft for your football team.
Mm-hmm.
It is your job to make the Bears the best. Please take your stubbornness and pride elsewhere.
All right. Sticking with the quarterback position here, we got a lot of news for that position, because this is an offseason that could be like any other with so many quarterbacks that could possibly be on the move. Raiders have re-signed Nathan Peterman. That's probably the biggest news of the day.
Biggest news.
Yep, Nathan Peterman re-signed with the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's the GOAT right there.
Yeah. Saints have renegotiated Drew Brees' contract, where it frees up $24 million in cap space, which the Saints desperately need, Jake, because they are really have no money. I think negative money in cap space
negative
right now.
$70 million now.
That's crazy. Is that with the $24
million? Yeah, that's with the $24 million. The only reason why they were allowed to do that is because Drew Brees has not officially retired, so it just counts as a restructure, which is legal to do. Mm-hmm. So they saved a lot of money by doing that.
It just gives it points a lot another sign to Drew Brees, you know, finding green pastures and officially retiring. It's another sign that points towards that direction. Potential number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence from Clemson will undergo surgery to repair his left shoulder labrum. Luckily, it's not his throwing shoulder, but he will undergo surgery and should be ready by training camp before the 2021 regular season.
Yeah, not really much of a comment on that one because it's his left shoulder. Doesn't really affect him when he's throwing. So I think it should be fine. He'll still be the number one pick overall.
And even then, we don't need to see anything out of him in his pro day. He's already widely considered the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he was considered the number one pick overall 2 years ago.
So the potential team that drafts him, looking at you, Jaguars, they're happy that he's getting that repaired now and not later.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's run through a couple more headlines here. Let's go back local. The Green Bay Packers. Wisconsin University defensive coordinator Jim Leonard spent some time in the NFL, has reportedly will not accept the Packers defensive coordinator job. Was he actually offered? Supposedly he was. Instead, the Packers are going to turn to Joe Barry, who was assistant with the Los Angeles Rams the last few seasons. He will now become the new defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, replacing Mike Pettine.
Yeah, very questionable hire. Honestly, keeping Mike Pettine would have been a better than Joe Barry. Joe Barry, you wanted to say that Joe Barry's had some recent not success?
Yeah, so the note I had on him is that he was part of that 0-16 famous Detroit Lions team with Jim Schwartz at the helm. He was actually the defensive coordinator at that time where the Lions allowed the most points and allowed the most yardage in that same season.
Yeah, as a Bears fan, I'm perfectly fine with this. Honestly,
it's a great hire. It's a rival team.
Yeah, and I wish Bear fans would be a little more excited about it right now, but we have to deal with the whole Carson Wentz rumors. So I guess I'll take this as a consolation prize.
I'll tell you what, I know this is the other side of the ball defensively, but the Rams have just been absolutely depleted this offseason with assistant coaches and players. I mean, they're just getting gut-wrenched.
It's like the third year in a row that this always happens.
It seems like just people are just gasping at straws, like, oh, the Rams are just this young and fun team, but yet they haven't made it far in the playoffs since their big game run a few years ago. And it seems like they're just gasping at straws, it feels like.
Anything that touches Sean McVay's brilliance.
Yeah.
Sean McVay's becoming the new Andy Reid. If there's a coach in his tree, then they're going to try and snag him.
All right, now possibly the biggest news of the week, non-Chiefs-Bucks big game on Sunday. The biggest news of the year, and it's only February in 2021. That's right, EA Sports. If you're a video game fan out there, EA Sports is officially bringing back the college football game in the future, hopefully down the road, but they are officially getting the license back. They're going to be starting making a game hopefully soon.
Yeah, they unfortunately for us, they said at least 2 to 3 years.
I'm fine with that. It's better than sitting there and waiting. Well, is it going to come back? Is another gaming company going to pick it up? What's going to happen? Is EA going to give up the license? What's going to happen here? But now we actually have a set date, hopefully. I'm excited.
It's very nice to see that we have college football again. As long as it's not made by the same side company that makes Madden every year, because let's be honest, we're all Madden players in this room. Not the very best.
Oh, it has nowhere near been the same since, I would say, the mid-2000s Madden's.
No.
It hasn't been the same, which is crazy because the graphics have definitely taken a big upgrade since then. But just the abilities to have inside the game and just these different options to play the game was so fun back then. And it just feels like it's just a downward spiral right now.
Money. Yeah, and it was a good thing this year that they got bullied pretty hard on Twitter to the fact that they had openly say that they will be trying a lot harder to fix Connected Franchise. I know that doesn't really mean a lot for a lot of us, but for us big Connected Franchise fans.
I'm a big franchise guy. Huge franchise guy.
They better fix this or they're going to get bullied to the point where nobody's going to buy that game.
Right.
Which would maybe be the awakening that they need, not seeing the money come in.
Hopefully. All right, one more note, Matt, before I hand over the segment to you here. I want to talk a little 815 Strong here. We got a lot of players from the local area in the National Football League. I mean, we already talked about James Robinson having a great year. And even outside of football, Fred VanVleet scored 54 points the other night. He had a great night. And then we got Dan Arnold, you know, with the Arizona Cardinals, had a couple touchdowns last year. We got Dean Lowry with the Packers. You even have Nate Weeding, who went to Iowa to Lutheran. He's having a nice, he's been bouncing around a few practice squads, but he's still in the league. You have Isaiah Roby with the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA out of Dixon. Now there's another name that could potentially be in the NFL next year, and that's Robert Jones, offensive lineman out of East who played at Middle Tennessee State the last few years. He looks like he might be a mid, maybe early day three pick, possibly mid day three pick. We're looking at maybe that fourth, fifth, sixth round range. He's versatile, he can play tackle, come in the guard, but this might potentially be the next guy to come into the league out of the Rockford area.
It'd be another. It'd be nice to see another face around here. You know, I would like to have this town as, you know, known as a sports town.
Yeah.
Other than
it's growing, it's getting to that point, which is really cool, though.
Yeah,
that's really cool. That's why I say 815 proud, because it's kind of a proud thing. Like, look, all these guys that have actually, there's a pipeline now at the professional level, whether it's NBA, it's NFL, not so much baseball, but like it's hard to get to the high level in that sport. But it's just, yeah, you got basketball, you got football players out there.
Yeah, it's nice to hear, like, almost every year or every other year, there's somebody else from the local area getting into a major league sport. That's always great to hear that people here are making it.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, I'm going to hand the reins over to you to finish out this segment. We've got just a few minutes before we close out. What are some of your golden nuggets from this past week? Some intel, some information that we may not know.
Tom Brady is playing in his 10th big game in 20 seasons as a starter. Now, last week I had talked about him having a higher chance of making the big game than Steph Curry making a three-pointer.
It's just wild.
Let's go more into that. So, at a 50% chance of making the big game, he is more likely to make the big game than Michael Jordan is to make a shot. Michael Jordan ended his career with a 49.7 field goal percentage.
Okay.
Babe Ruth to get on base. Babe Ruth got on base 47% of the time.
No kidding.
Or Cristiano Ronaldo to score a goal in a World Cup game.
Wow.
41% for him.
How about that? I mean, and you're talking about, a lot of people say NFL is the hardest sport too. I mean,
and these are guys that you could argue are the GOATs at their position in their sport.
Yeah, it's not only one of the hardest sports, but you're talking about the hardest position in all sports. I think that's easily, you can say that. The quarterback position is the hardest position to play at a professional level. And he's doing it, honestly, with ease. And that's why he's considered the best of all time.
Oh, yeah, especially if he wins this one right here, it would be extremely hard to argue. And now, Tom Brady, in the big game, this will be his 10th one, he has never led a touchdown drive in the first quarter of a big game. In fact, of all the big games, his offense has only gotten a field goal in the first quarter out of all of them combined.
It's like Brady just likes to toy with his food. You know, early on in the first quarter, just to learn the defense, see what they do, what they like to do, what they don't like to do, and just play with his food, you know, in the first quarter, and then once the second quarter, third quarter comes around, that's when he likes to pour it on.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird thing because that's basically what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs do. They always wait. Second half, they always go off. And honestly, it's going to be weird to see both quarterbacks wait until the second half to go off.
That's why this game, we're going to preview it in our third segment, but like, that's why it means so much, because you're talking about two quarterbacks from different areas. You're talking about a guy who's going to be closing out this great era of quarterbacks, the Peyton Mannings, the Brett Favre, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. And then now we got the guy who's going to lead this next generation, who's going to be the next guy, the face of the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes. And they have sort of similar play styles. I know Patrick's a little more athletic, of course, but it's just crazy how that kind of works, how that shapes out.
Yeah. And now let's talk about the rest of the touchdowns that Tom Brady has gotten in the big game. So he has had 18 in his career. None of them have been for more than 26 yards. In fact, only three of them have been above 10 yards.
That's why he's the dump-off king, and that's why James White has a career in the NFL, because he made a living off of Tom Brady dumping the ball off to him.
Yeah, because looking at the numbers, he has 9 of them that are 5 yards or under. That is purely dump-off and just having the runner go catch it.
Without looking at the list, I'd be willing to put money that most of those are to the running back position, and specifically James White from the New England Patriots.
I would definitely not be surprised by that. James White, he has always been the playoff guy.
All right, how much more you got?
All right, I got 2 more. So let's go down the path of Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Let's see how they fared. So both those players, first year as a starter, they lost in the playoffs. For both of them, their second year as a starter, they both won the Super Bowl. Now Russell Wilson, his third year as a starter, he lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Will we see Mahomes follow suit with Russell again?
I don't know. That's a really interesting one.
It's oddly specific that they're following such a similar path.
Huh. Yeah, but then you realize one's a first round, one's a third round.
Yeah.
So it's not, while I think it is specific, I do think that Patrick Mahomes breaks every law of football that we've watched and known. Mm-hmm. So I think he's outside the norm. I think he'll be fine.
Hey, it's worth $500 million. All right. What's your last one, Matt?
All right. So LeSean McCoy, he won a ring last year with the Chiefs. He was inactive for that game. He is playing for the Buccaneers right now, and he is also likely going to be inactive. He could be the first player in history to get two rings while being inactive.
Must be nice to get a free ride to get a ring. Must be nice.
He put in his time with Philadelphia and Buffalo, and he's like, all right, let me go get two easy ones.
I'll tell you what, I'm not a big fan of LeSean Shady McCoy. Not a big fan of him, because he is the captain of spoilers. Spoiled end game on Twitter. Remember that a few years ago?
Yeah, that and was ridiculous.
The directors, the actors, everyone said, no spoilers, please, because it was the must-see movie, right?
He did it. That was such a clown act.
And it's not like you and me going to do it where, like, we don't have any followers, you know? It's literally a guy who has a couple million or a couple hundreds of thousands of followers. Come on.
I've never seen someone get bullied so fast to leave social media than that.
He well-deserved. All right, guys, we're going to take our first time out. We're going to come back. We're going to do our Mount Rushmore of big game moments. Also, some big game prop bets. Coming up next, you're listening to Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Air Jordan Gothy alongside you today. Also, Matt Heflin and Jake Reisinger getting you set for the big game later tonight. Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers squaring off for the final week of the season. That is right, week 22. We have officially made it all the way through the year of 2020 and 2021 football season. And we're going to do our second segment here. We got some Mount Rushmore idea. We started this a few weeks back in the off season. Kind of a cool idea, just like what would be on your Mount Rushmore, mostly football related topics. I believe we had the Heisman runner-ups. I believe we had best college football jerseys. And I think we had stadium venues a week or two ago. We did this week, since of course it's a theme of big game, we're going to do our Mount Rushmore of best big game moments. And I guess I pulled a short straw. I'm going to lead us off here with my list. Now, in no particular order, just goes up on my Mount Rushmore for best big game moments. The first one we just talked about in the break. I got to start off with a banger here. Devin Hester and his 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Now, a couple of crazy things about this. He had 6 touchdown returns in the year of 2006. Now, Tony Dungy, the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts then, all week long, he had an interview a few weeks ago on a radio station, and he talked about preparation for that game is all through practice. They said, we're not kicking to 23. We're not kicking to 23. No matter what, you kick the opposite way, you squeal it, whatever you have to do, don't kick it to 23. On game day, last minute, Tony Dungy said, you know what? In order to beat the monster, you got to kick him in the mouth right away. You got to kick the ball to dangerous number 23, and you got to hit him right in the mouth. Just show him that you mean business. That's what Tony Dungy said. That's probably one of the worst decisions he ever made, as Devin Hester took that ball, went 92 yards the other way. And you guys probably sat down and were watching it, right? Most people were. You know what I was doing? Getting ready for our party. I was downstairs getting the soda. So as soon as the kickoff, I think nothing's going to happen. It's going to be a touchback like most games are, right? No, I went downstairs to get the soda. All of a sudden, I hear feet champing everywhere. People are yelling, yeah, Hester, go, go, go. I'm like, oh, my God, I just missed it. Sure enough, I get back there, and he's already in the end zone.
Wow.
I missed it live.
Such a memorable moment.
I missed it live, but I got to actually see it in replay, but I missed it live, which sucked.
I can't believe you missed it live. It's one of the best moments as a Bears fan.
Well, I was getting prepared, you know. We had guests over. I was like, you know, I was a kid. We're getting prepared. You know, it's Bears and Colts, you know. Yeah. Peyton Manning versus Rexy Sexy, you know. Big game. You know, Brian Urlacher and company, Charles Peanut Tillman. Anyways, moving on my list here. Number 2, again, this is no particular order. I'm going Ben Roethlisberger and his pass to Santonio Holmes for that go-ahead touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals in that back corner of the end zone. I mean, when you think of catches, and when you think of big game catches, I mean, that has to be on the top of that list. I mean, just amazing athletic effort by Santonio Holmes. I mean, perfect pass. I mean, absolutely a dime pass by Ben Roethlisberger, and just was the go-ahead touchdown to really just put the Steelers above the Arizona Cardinals.
Honestly, I still question how he made that catch looking back at it. It's just a freak, but that freak of a play.
And that's what makes it such a memorable moment, was just that. It's like, did he do that? Yeah. You know, it's just that jaw-dropping play. And speaking of jaw-dropping plays, that's where I'm going to go in the next one here. Now, between you and I here, don't let Sean or any of my other friends who are Patriot fans, don't let them know this one. Yeah. Next one, okay? Speaking of catches, Julian Edelman and that catch versus Atlanta Falcons.
Ridiculous.
Now, the only reason I put that on there, I'm not a Patriots fan. I don't like the Patriots whatsoever, but his catch versus Atlanta, the acrobatic catch over three defenders where we all thought it was incomplete at first, my first reaction was no chance, no shot that was a catch. Turns out it was. I mean, that just jaw-dropping, defining moment of a big game just really just set the, like, I'm going to think about that play, that catch for years, the debate whether or not Julian Edelman caught that ball. I mean, just absolutely incredible.
Watching it live, we were just all sitting there saying, there's no way he caught it.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's just gravity-defying. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And that's just the memory in my mind where just I had to find a spot on my Mount Rushmore list to put it up there. I had to find a spot for it because it's just so memorable.
He had to give all the effort to go and reach out and get that.
Right. Now, this last one was before my time. Going back to 85.
Oh, my God.
William Fridge Perry, his 1 yard rumbling, bumbling, a touchdown run to increase their lead over the Patriots, 44-3 back then, late in the third quarter. You got to show some big fellas some love, right? I know he's a defensive tackle. You guys know I'm a big offensive line supporter, probably the biggest O-line supporter there is. And it's just cool to see a big guy run through the pile and just no one saw that coming. Beep, beep, the train's coming through.
How do you mean nobody saw it coming? They only did it the whole year.
Well, I mean,
honestly,
like,
I'm about to say some controversial stuff as a Bears fan. I disagree. I think it should have gone to Walter.
Oh, that play you're talking about?
I think Walter should have got a touchdown. You do not have that's one of his biggest regrets.
The workhorse, best back of all time?
From Dicka, is not giving the ball to Walter.
100%.
And you can see it on the sideline. And honestly, from the seasons after it, you can see that carried with him for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it... But it's still a great moment, though.
Yeah, if we were in his shoes, probably the same reaction from all of us,
I mean, we're all thinking, I mean, Dicka was probably like, yeah, this is going to be funny. Hey, send in the fridge.
Right. Yeah, and that's why it's so memorable is like, and we think of big games.
Yeah.
Like a defensive tackle run in for a 1 yard score, as big as William the Fridge Perry was. I mean, that's pretty impressive, and that's why it's just a memorable moment.
Nah, it's a great memory.
Yeah.
At the time, the heaviest player to score a touchdown.
Right, exactly.
Oh, another nugget.
All right, Matt, you're up next here. What's your Mount Rushmore of big game moments?
Okay, so like you had started off with, I got to start off with a two. Devin Hester's kick return in the opening game against the Colts. Now, that memory has a special place for me because that was the first football game I ever watched. Back then in 2007, I didn't care about football. I didn't really start watching football until 2012.
But, how dare you?
But seeing the Bears in the Super Bowl and seeing Devin Hester run that back, I was so excited. I had to call the neighbor kid to talk about it. Because it was just so flabbergasted.
Was it me?
Yeah, did you call Jordan?
No, it wasn't you, unfortunately. Okay. But it was just so amazing to see that.
Oh, absolutely.
And he probably had no idea what was going on.
No, all I saw was him going, you know, the Bears
Why
are going,
is this
the Bears are going to score.
Man scoring the ball.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about football. And then I watched that game, and it was just so exciting watching that happen. So, yeah, that's obviously got to be mine.
Little nugget for the next year, 2007, he was the only NFL player ever to have 100 speed in Madden.
Crazy. He was a special player here in Chicago. I know they tried to turn him into receiver, just did not work. But, man, just an electric, one of the best kick
returns
of all time.
Better be a first ballot Hall of Famer next year.
Mm-hmm. All right, and my next one. So there were a couple memorable catches in that game, Falcons versus Patriots.
The
first
Julio one.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with the Julio Jones sideline catch. That was a crazy athletic catch. And it will always be overshadowed by the Edelman catch because of how crazy Edelman was, but that Julio Jones catch is one that cannot be forgotten because in that moment is when your star players need to make star plays, and that's what
Absolutely.
Julio did. Crazy catch along the sideline.
Yeah, and that's what makes Julio Jones Julio Jones, you know, and I bet you when it's all said and done, he's probably going to wind up in the Hall of Fame as well. But, I mean, talk about a guy who shows up, like you exactly said, Matt, big players have to show up in big-time moments, and that's what he did.
Oh, yeah. And then my next one is also that Julian Edelman catch because we could talk about it all day about how crazy it was that Edelman was able to make that catch when everyone watching it live thought that ball hit the ground. That's incomplete, you know? And then they're looking at it, and he actually caught it, and it didn't hit the ground. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. And it's something that you're going to debate for years to come, and that's why it's so memorable. Mm-hmm. All right, so that is that your whole Mount Rushmore?
No, there's one more.
Three.
I can't count.
All right, and the last one, the David Tyree helmet catch.
Okay. That was an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, what was it? The Immaculate Reception.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and even think about it. It was late in the game, and it was a helmet catch not only in triple covers where Eli Manning just threw up a prayer, but also it was a year, it was the undefeated season that the Patriots were going for as well. And that's just a, I don't know what you call it. It was a game-winning drive.
Prayer.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Hoping a prayer in triple covers where Eli Manning had no business throwing the ball.
And there's actually a little side story. I can't remember which offensive lineman it was, but one of his linemen had came out and said when Eli was scrambling on that trying to make a play, he had made contact with Eli, and in his head he was thinking, no, Eli, don't throw it to me. I can't catch it. They had made eye contact before Eli had lobbed it down the field.
How about that? I mean, talk about a guy who's got two rings to his names. But, hey, yeah, I mean, that was definitely an honorable mention for me. Just missed the cut, but that Chris Tyree catch, I mean, this is a guy you're probably like, Chris Tyree, who is that? That's really the only big moment he had in that game. In his career, probably.
In his career.
Unfortunately. Yeah. All right, Jake, who's your Mount Rushmore list?
All right, so let's start out with the Devin Hester. You are ridiculous return touchdown. Never have I seen so many so electric return the ball. It was just, honestly, I love going back and watching the HD version from the other end zone, and you can see just the lights and cameras flashing in the back. It's one of my favorite memories of all time being a Bears fan, and I think that's what solidified it as just, I'm going to love this team. Because I was more of a kid around that time, but again, it was just, it's something stunning of just watching him and then hearing, you know, Jeff Joniak voice it over, and that's just, that's Bears football
right there. And the crowd
right roar. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I think about Bears, is that specific moment.
Going into the game, I was like, are the Bears really going to show up in this game? Yeah. And then when they did that, it's like, wow, he did show up. All right, what's next on your list?
Yeah, so the next on my list is going to be James Harrison's pick six right before the end of the half against Kurt Warner. Honestly, that game, that's the turning point in that game. Without that, I don't think the Steelers come back in the second half and just win it with this Antonio Holmes touchdown. Mm-hmm. The fact that James Harrison, as big as he is, should not have ran that 92-yard pick six. He was huffing and puffing at the end, and you could tell he was just hunched over, and he was like, thank God I made it. But it's one of the best defensive plays of all time in the big game.
Yeah, he had to get some CPR after that game for sure, after that play. All right, what's next?
Number third is going to be the Saints' surprise onside kick, against the Colts.
Out of halftime, right?
Yes. It takes the biggest balls in the world to just do that and come out and honestly get it. Surprised everybody. Surprised, obviously, the Colts. And it surprised everybody else watching, because if anybody who ever bet on that made a lot of money, too.
You know what just missed my list, speaking of that same big game, was just simply Drew Brees winning his first Super Bowl for that city of New Orleans after just, honestly, straight hell that city has been through with Hurricane Katrina. And it was just so, there was no other team that was more deserving of winning the big game that year.
Yeah, and that's one of the best things about sports is, like, when everything makes sense and it goes right. It's always one of those things that you can sit down and, like, wow, that's a true sports moment, and that's why I love sports.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And it was really cool to see, and you got the famous picture of Drew Brees holding up his
the iconic
2-year-old son or something like that. Yeah.
My last one's not really a moment, but a situation that happened. The 49ers-Ravens blackout.
Okay.
Honestly, never seen that before in my life. If you're into conspiracy theories and you think that the bettors did it, Vegas did it to obviously fix the game and rig the game, go ahead. But all I remember is pure chaos for 35-plus minutes. And it was enjoyable seeing how the internet reacted and how the world reacted to it.
I'll tell you what, one of the big storylines, I think, of any big games going into that was just the Harbaugh Bowl. Brother versus brother, I thought was really cool going into that game. And something crazy, I mean, you talk about these big game moments, there's so many, there's countless moments, but I'm surprised none of us had the Malcolm Butler game-clinching interception at the 1-yard line.
Honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one had that. I'm also surprised the Philly special never made it in there either.
No,
you know,
I'm
something
done
that's new too. Yeah,
done hearing about it.
Yeah, or even Malcolm Butler's pick to win the game right there.
Literally just said that.
Yeah, but
how did you skip over that?
okay, I had a moment right there.
I mean, it was the same player. Marshawn Lynch should have ran the ball him instead of Russell Wilson threw the ball instead. We're not going to beat you up too much. It's late. It's Saturday night. We're recording this, getting ready for the big game on Sunday. All right, guys, we're going to transition into some prop bets for the big game. Now, the first one I'm going to go here. First play from scrimmage. You can bet on this. Is it a run or a pass? What are we going with here? Who has the ball?
A shotgun snap over the head like Peyton Manning?
Yeah, where the Seattle recovered, and I believe it was a safety, right? And that's how they
over
began the game.
Over the head of Peyton Manning!
And that was the blowout year, too, wasn't it? Where Seattle ran away with that game.
Yeah.
That probably was the worst big game I think I've ever watched.
That was almost one of my memorable moments.
You got to halftime, and I think Percy Harvin, I think, ran a kick return to start the second half.
Yes.
After that, it just took all the life Denver had.
Yeah, and then it was the Malcolm Smith show.
Yeah, it just took all the life they had, and it's just the game wasn't fun. The Broncos weren't in it. You know, it was over.
Nah, nobody was in it.
Absolute blowout.
I'm going to go with run.
Maybe playoff Lenny there? Playoff Lenny, Leonard Fournette is going to get the ball from the Bucs, maybe?
So, are we going to specific teams?
No, I just thought it'd be fun, just the where your mindset is.
Yeah, we'll go with an inside zone to either Clyde or playoff Lenny.
Okay.
I'm thinking the Chiefs are going to get the ball, and it's going to be a pass. I think they're going to take a shot right off the bat to Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill torched the Bucs last time they played.
Exactly. And I'm going the same boat. I don't believe Tom Brady. We're going to preview the game coming up here, but I don't think Tom Brady can get into a scoring match with Patrick Mahomes. I think that is the worst case scenario for him, but I think Tom Brady is going to try to do his best. He's going to catch the Kansas City defense sleeping out right off the bat. I think he's going to go long to Chris Godwin, right over the middle. I could just see that happening, so I'm going to go past there. All right, we're going to go total points for the game. Right now, the over-under is set at 56.5 points.
I'll go 31-28, Chiefs.
31-28?
I'll probably go 51 total points. I think it'll be 28-23, Chiefs.
Okay, so you're expecting a little bit of a slow, low-scoring game.
Yeah, because we were talking about earlier about how the Chiefs and Buccaneers, they look like they may go a slow start in the first quarter and then turn it up in the second half.
Didn't you just say they're going to pass?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, and then things slow down after that.
That doesn't make any sense. Why go right off the bat pass?
It doesn't mean a touchdown, though. You get a big play, and then all of a sudden the offense could stall.
If Tyreek Hill does the exact same stuff that he did the first time they played, there is no slowing down this team.
All right. How about this one? This is a good one. Total players to attempt a pass in the game. The over-under is set at 2.5. So there's two quarterbacks, obviously. Is there going to be another player that's going to throw the ball during the game? Is there going to be some trickery-type play?
Honestly, I see them coming back to that Travis Kelce pass to Patrick Mahomes that they failed on. In the regular season, Travis Kelce got a sweep, got it. Patrick Mahomes ran to the outside, but it was just overthrown and missed because both Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were on the same page. So I'm going to go with probably three. Let's say three.
I think Andy Reid is going to pull all the tricks he has. He's going to try to win another big game. But at the same time, I think Bruce Arians is going to do that because this is his first time he's coaching in the big game as a head coach in the NFL. I think he's pulling out all the stops. His whole playbook is going to get dumped out. I think there's going to be some trickery with Chris Godwin out of the backfield, maybe Chris Godwin to Mike Evans hookup.
I think Bruce Arians will overthink it himself and not do any of that.
You think he's going to play it safe?
I think he'll play it safe and let Brady control it because Brady's been there and done that.
That might be smart. It might be smart to lean on the guy who's been there 10 times.
But if we go that... The Patriots always had that one receiver throw that ball, so it's possible.
So I think we're on the same page where we think there's going to be Scotty Miller. I didn't think about that. He might be the true X factor in the game. I think we're all in the same boat where I think we're going to see more than two people pass the ball.
I think
it just says passing attempts.
Yeah,
we're hitting over on that, right?
Yeah, I think over.
Okay,
yeah.
And we're hitting the under.
Easy smash on the over.
And you guys are both hitting the under on under 56.5 points. Or Matt, you took the under and Jake, you took the over.
Yeah, I took the over.
I'm going to smash the over because I think these two offenses are just, they're too electric. Like, Tampa Bay's defense is good, but they got torched their first game back in week 12 against the Chiefs. I'm hitting the over on that. All right, playoff Lenny. Is he going to have over or under 3.5 receptions? This is, if I was a betting man, this is my bet for the game. Over, under 3.5 receptions.
I think hitting over.
Reason why, when Tom Brady's in the big game, he is the dump off king. Mm-hmm. And so far in the playoffs, that's exactly what he's done with Leonard Fournette. That was his big critique coming out of college. Can he catch the ball out of the backfield? he's been the guy for Tampa Bay because they don't have no trust in Ronald Jones coming out of the backfield, catching some passes. I think playoff Lenny, I'm hitting the over. I'm slamming the over at 3.5.
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably go all the way. I'm say probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. I can see up to 8, honestly. I can see that probably. Much for the dump-offs.
I think it'd be a close one. I'm going to take the over, but I think it'll be barely over, like 4.
Okay. How about this one? This is a fun one. How many commercials will there be a dog in the commercial? Over under 4.5 right now for commercials for the game. That's, now, you don't have to not only be a football fan to watch the big game. There's plenty of fans. My girlfriend's one of them. Who just watch the big game for the commercials. Strictly the commercials. There's tons of people that do that.
Yeah, that's how the commercials have been pretty crap recently.
They've been pretty bad. I know there's a couple years, I don't know what game it was. Maybe it was the Atlanta Patriots one, or it's just really dark.
Yeah,
there's 1 year was a lot of dark commercials.
Yeah, I think that was 2014, which there was a lot of domestic abuse and some other like alcoholic stuff on it. Yeah, that was really bad. But recently, they just been normal commercials.
I don't know if they're just going, overthinking it, just going over the top, or there's just, they're
yeah, or they're dark end ones. Of like Puppy Monkey Baby from Doritos.
Right. Oh. Well, again, over under, how many commercials will there be a dog in it? 4.5 right now. Over. You're going to go over?
Last year was a rough year for the whole world, and everybody loves dogs.
Yeah, see, that's my thought. That's my line of thought is just, who doesn't love, like, who
yeah,
hates
I'd
dogs?
Be fine,
you know, like, I'm
some,
hitting over on that, of course.
Yeah, I'd be fine seeing some
yeah,
dogs.
Over, that, I'm hitting over
seems,
on that.
Seems to be an easy overhit.
Yeah. All right, what about total commercials? 92.5 total commercials.
I'm going to go
you
on
know,
50.
The viewership is going to be extremely high this year because not only you have a great matchup, but you got everyone at home with the pandemic. You have so many people watching this game. So many ways you can watch the game nowadays. 92.5 commercials. They're going to try to stretch this puppy out all night long. 92.5, I'm slamming the over on that because they're going to try to stretch it. This is for the entire broadcast. They're going to try to stretch it out over 92.5. Yeah.
Especially since they're not going to be able to do much with the combine. They got to get the commercial revenue from somewhere, so I'm smashing the over on that as well.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to hate the game tomorrow.
All right, two more. Who scores the first touchdown of the game?
Travis Kelce.
Can we pick quarterback?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, regardless if it's rushing or passing.
I went a little over the top here. I went shovel pass to Travis Kelce on the goal line. I had a shovel pass for the Chiefs, but I also did the Bucs if they score first. I have a short pass to playoff Lenny. Under 5 yards, like we just talked about last segment.
If we're going to go with the Bucs, Brady QB sneak.
Really?
That would be my thing.
Will you risk him that early in the game, though?
He is unstoppable at QB sneaks.
Automatic.
And Bruce Arians learned in the regular season to do it. Because there was one time he did, on a 4th-and-1, he didn't do it. And you can see the Brady was just like, what are you doing? He's automatic with the sneaks.
Yeah, I don't know if I would risk that early on. Because what if something happens? We saw Patrick Mahomes in the regular season.
Hey, they brought up Drew Stanton. It's good to go.
Yeah, I got Blaine Gabbert as well.
Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton, we're good to go.
All right. And finally, we're going to wrap it up here. Gatorade shower color. Last year was orange, and that's the favorite this year. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I'm feeling orange, too. I was going to say before you even said anything, orange. So I'm going to go with my gut feeling and say orange.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like it's going to be a blue year.
Blue? Okay. See, now you think with two red teams, the red might be the popular choice, right? I don't think so. I can see blue, but I'm seeing orange more right now. I think orange will be the color this year. Someone just tells me we're true.
Orange
Andy
is just
Reed,
more refreshing.
Yeah, but that's true. But Andy Reid won the big game last year. I don't think he's going to take too many chances to. I think he's going to want the same superstitious. The same Could thing. Be. He's going to do the same thing. I think he's going to want the same color Gatorade. If it even comes down to that small of a detail, I think that's what's going to end up happening. So I'm going orange. All right, guys, we're going to take our one final timeout for the year. We're going to come back with our final segment of the season. We're going to talk about that big game and preview it for you. Bucks and Chiefs. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
We're back one final time. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. I am Air Jordan Gothy alongside you this week and all season long. Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin help me round out the show, round out the season 4 or year 4. Football Sunday here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. You can find our podcast online every week, sportsfanrockford.com, if you missed anything. But guys, our final segment, we're going to preview, of course, the big game, because that is the topic of conversation today. Week 22 and the great year of 2021, Injury report. Chiefs and Bucks squaring off later tonight on CBS. Tony Romo and Jim Nantz on the call. A couple guys are notable. A couple players who are listed as out already. Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher and outside linebacker Willie Gay is out for today's game. Le'Veon Bell, Sammy Watkins, both questionable with knee and calf injury. And on the other side, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two big names. Cameron Brate, the backup tight end, but he does play a lot in two tight end situations with a back injury that's been a big storyline throughout the week, along with wide receiver Antonio Brown dealing with a knee injury. You know, we missed that NFC Championship game, which was kind of random too, last minute. Missed that game. We'll see if he gets back on the field this week for, of course, the last game of the season. Big game for the Chiefs and Bucks. Couple big storylines. Bucks are becoming the first team in NFL history to host their own big game in their own stadium. The first team to ever do so. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really nice for them. They didn't have to take a plane over there. I mean, yeah. I remember a few years back, Minnesota almost was able to do that. But, yeah, it sucks for Minnesota fans. But, hey, it's in Tampa Bay. But next year?
Tampa Bay. Well,
not next year, Tampa Bay. Hopefully eventually we could see something like the Colts with Lucas Oil Stadium, because that is a really nice stadium.
That would be, it's a great stadium. It's a great venue. It's a great city to host a big game, which I'm excited for when they have the chance to do that. But interesting note about this Bucs game here. So far this year, Tampa Bay, they're 5-3 home this year. While on the other side, Kansas City, when they're away from Arrowhead Stadium, they've been undefeated. They're 8-0 this season away from Arrowhead Stadium. 8-0. I mean, that's a pretty impressive record when you're going on the road and the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes I think they play better on the road.
Yeah, and honestly, if you want reference, go back to Week 12, where the Chiefs were on the road in the same stadium they're going to play in Tampa Bay, and they scorched that Tampa Bay team. I mean, just absolutely ran up and down the field. Tyreek Hill had over 200 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns. Huge fantasy day. We talked about it for weeks here on the show. I mean, just to put it in perspective, it still ended up being only a 3-point game back on November 29th. Kansas City 27, Tampa Bay 24. Kansas City had over 546 total yards. Tampa Bay had about 470 just to keep up with Kansas City, just to get back in that game. And we're talking about just a pure track meet. I'm not sure if we're gonna get similar numbers where Tyreek Hill is just going to absolutely destroy that team, but there's going to be offensive fireworks at some point or another because these two teams are just built on that with playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Oh, yeah, whether it be running backs, tight ends, or receivers, there's offensive firepower all across the board for both teams.
Yeah, and Jake, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when I break down this game, when I look at this Chiefs offense, why Tampa Bay's defense has been really good this year under Todd Bowles, mm-hmm. except for the game against they played Kansas City. But they've been pretty good this year. They've been pretty stout defensively. But when I look at the opposing side of the field, I look at this Chiefs offense, it's honestly unstoppable. You got Travis Kelce, who is just a zone. He gets all the yards, all the receptions he can in zone. Like, you can't guard him in zone. He finds mm-hmm. that free space. The biggest guy in the field, he just finds that open space and he gets 15, 20 yards per play. Now, you go to man-to-man, Tyreek Hill's going to beat you off the line every single time. That's what he does. He kills you in man-to-man.
Yep.
What defense can you run if you're Tampa Bay? What defense can you possibly run to stop this offense?
This is the great point that I was going to bring up. So the Bills, when they played the Chiefs, they played a lot of cover two high shell, which for non-football understanding, they just basically stand there and they have their own zone to cover. They ran that because they thought Patrick Mahomes was going to take shots deep. Mm-hmm. What they didn't realize is Andy Reid came up with a game plan that had anything under 15 yards. And that's how the Chiefs torched the Bills offensively, because they only had one shot deep, and it was Tyreek Hill to the left side, but he dropped it. Other than that, he torched them efficiently and like Alex Smith. So if you come out with the Tampa Bay and they come and run another Tampa 2 high shell defense, Patrick Mahomes is literally going to eviscerate everybody in zone. But if they come out and run blitz man, they're going to leave a lot of people open. And if Lavonte David on the defensive side, their best linebacker, he's phenomenal at covering running backs, but he was one of the worst coverage linebackers against tight ends in the NFL. Wow. He was 56 out of starting NFL linebackers, mm-hmm. which is a lot. And then you go to the other linebacker, Devin White, his worst trait is coverage. So if we're going to talk about running defense, you have to run a perfect defense to where not only Travis Kelce can hold up in some mm-hmm. miraculous zone that they can both coverage, or stop double team Tyreek Hill to the point where he can't even leave the line of scrimmage. Other than that, it's going to be really hard to call a game plan against this offense.
I almost feel like they're going to have to blitz Devin White a lot, because Devin White is a fast linebacker, and they're going to have to get pressure on Mahomes that game if they want to be effective at all.
The good thing for the Bucs, the offensive line is eviscerated. It looks like Swiss cheese. Eric Fisher tearing his Achilles was huge, and now we're going to have to rely on a bum foot Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But honestly, Patrick Mahomes with his injury, he was the most efficient he's ever been.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to what they have to do, I assume they're either going to come out in full heavy blitz or they're going to assume the same thing. And if Todd Bowles is smart like he was, he'll have, like he was in the second half of that game where Tyreek didn't get any yards, is you double team him immediately, and then you have to rely on Patrick Robinson or the sneaky person, which I can is say the game changer is Watkins.
Okay.
Because if he's uncovered, he's good enough to get big yardage in big games. And he's always done it, and he's always sneakily available in the slot.
When you don't expect him to, because I'm not a Sammy Watkins guy. I'm not a big Watkins guy, but like, you're right. He might be an underrated play. He's paid as, when he first signed with the Chiefs, as a number one receiver now since Tyreek Hill has taken over that role. But let's stick with this Bucs defense. We got Vita Vey at the probably the best nose tackle in the league. Came back last week against Green Bay. Wasn't great, but he made an impact. We got safeties Antoine Winfield Jr., who's a rookie out there. You got Jordan Whitefield. They're banged up at the safety position. And Lavonte David was even on the injury report this week. Tembe is not completely healthy. They're a little banged up, as most teams are at this point of the year. But you just messed up. You brought up that Chiefs offensive line, how banged up they are. And this is one of the points I brought up, because they are so banged up. Mike Remmers is looking like he'll be the starting left tackle. He's had zero snaps as a left tackle. You got Nick Allegri out of Illinois, who has a 67.1 Pro Football Focus grade at left guard, along with starting center Austin Reiter, who has a 69.2 Pro Football Focus grade. Then you close out the line with Steven Wisniewski. Matt, that's your guy. He's had one game at right guard. And Andrew Wiley, who has one game started at right tackle. You have two games combined starting on your right side offensive line, and then you got a guy who's never played left tackle starting at left tackle. I mean, you're talking about just a scrappy group of guys playing offensive line and protecting a guy who's worth $500 million.
Yeah, honestly, they could go with a heavy look and two tight ends using Travis Kelce on the right and Kaiser on the left to help with the left tackle, and then they could go with a lot of play action shot running deep. They do have the Le'Veon Bell and Clyde, which could help out with just helping out the line. Running a zone offense could help out with blocking. Mm-hmm. So I assume Andy Reid's a smart enough coach.
Oh, no question.
So I think he'll be fine. But it does concern me, since Vita Vea is back, and he's probably the best nose tackle in the league right now. And when he's on the field, no running back gets over 3.3 yards per carry.
Right.
And that brings up the question, how effective will Kansas City's running game be this game?
I assume the same as always.
Right. I mean, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I believe is coming back. I don't think he played against Buffalo. Yeah, so he's coming back. And you have Le'Veon Bell, who I just mentioned, was banged up on the injury report this week. Clyde was not. He was a full participant. Le'Veon was banged up. So you have a kind of a group where you also got Darrell Williams back there. So you got three guys back there who are capable of taking over this game. Now, it's going to be interesting what the Chiefs are going to do, because you can do maybe like a little screen pass with Travis Kelce, where they like to do a little sneakily. You got these shuffle pass you can do with Travis Kelce just to get pressure off your quarterback and keep him upright throughout the game. That's what the Chiefs are going to have to do. And another note I have on this game, in Patrick Mahomes' last four games outside of Kansas City, they scored 40, 51, 31, and 32 points. Doesn't matter where they play, they put up points. Arrowhead is one of the toughest teams to go on the road and get a win in. Patrick Mahomes is almost as good at home as he is on the road. I mean, this offense, doesn't matter where they play, who they play, what the injuries are, what the matchups are, they're going to go in there and they're going to show you business. They're going to score you points. Plain and simple.
I mean, yeah, and that's just what we've seen Kansas City do all year, whether it be home or away. And we seem to keep going back to it. The X factor for this game, it feels like it's going to be Travis Kelce, regardless who's covering him, whether it be Lavonte David, Devin White, Antoine Winfield. It seems like Travis Kelce will be the guy who it needs to make big plays for the Chiefs, especially since he had arguably the best tight end season of all time this season. Mm-hmm. He put up crazy numbers, almost led the league in receiving.
All right, so Jake, your X-Factor is Sammy Watkins. Matt, your X-Factor is Travis Kelce. My X-Factor is Scotty Miller. Jake, you brought him up last segment. To me, that that guy just has X Factor written all over him. I mean, you're talking about a Julian Edelman-like mold, a scrappy guy who plays in the slot, who's going to get you the rack yardage. God. Who's a guy who could do some trickery plays. I just think he has that X Factor. I mean, he was even talking trash that he's as fast as Tyreek Hill. I mean, this is a guy.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, he is fast. And the team loved him when he came out of college out of Bowling Green. But he's my X Factor for today's game. But we're not going to waste any more time, guys. We got to break down who you going with. Score, prediction, who's going to come out on top?
Bears 54-0.
No, we're not doing that. Chiefs and Bucks.
Chiefs 31-28.
31-28, close game. Okay.
I know. I said last segment too. I think 28-23
Chiefs. 28-23
Chiefs.
Okay. I'm sticking in the same boat here. Now, Bruce Arians and Andy Reid have faced off twice. They've faced off twice against each other.
Twice.
Both times, the games have been decided by less than 3 points.
Yeah, see?
It's going to be a close game.
Close game.
But I think there's going to be a little bit of wiggle room. I think the Chiefs are going to come away 36-27. A little bit of an odd score there, but 36-27 to me, I'm going Chiefs.
So before we leave, I'd like to bring up the fact that this is basically a legacy game for both of them. So if Tom Brady wins this, he will be cemented as GOAT forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if Patrick can win, then he has a position for GOAT in the future, because if he can win at least three or four more, he can be in the position, well, I beat Tom Brady.
Right.
But if he loses, there's no way in hell that anybody's going to pick him to be over GOAT when Brady can win this on a different team.
Right. If Mahomes can somehow win his back-to-back big games, to me, it's just like passing the torch from Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, passing to the new guy who's going to lead this next generation of young quarterbacks, the Deshaun Watsons of the world, these young quarterbacks in the
Baker
league.
Baker Mayfield.
No, okay. Justin Herbert. I mean, young quarterbacks in the world.
Come on.
That Patrick Mahomes is going to lead the charge in that. But guys, we're going to wrap up our segment. We all have the Chiefs win this big game. It's going to be a blast. We're all going to be hopefully watching the game together. It's going to be really fun. One last second to like thank everyone who's been involved this year. Thank you guys for coming in. I think we've just kind of progressed as each week has gone on, and we think we've sounded better as the season has progressed. And it's been a blast doing the show with you guys this year. I know I've done the last 2 years with Jackson, year one with Mike Beyer. It's been a blast doing the show for the last 4 years now, Football Sunday here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Like to thank everyone who's listened. Of course, my mom, dad, you know, my sister Riley, all family, friends who have listened throughout the years. Thank you for supporting. Honestly, it means a lot that we're still on here doing this for 4 straight years now. And I know it's been tough with the pandemic and, you know, with other job situations and whatnot. It's been tough to get in here just to record each week. And it's been a blast. It's my passion for doing this. And honestly, it just means a lot doing the show. And I appreciate you guys for coming in each and every week through the snow, through the rain, just coming in here and just recording the show with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, obviously. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
We'll always be here.
All right. That wraps up. That concludes our season, week 22. Big game Sunday coming up later today. You've been listening to Football Sunday for Matt, Jake, myself, Air Jordan Gothy. That concludes our Football Sunday for the year of 2021. Enjoy your big game.